trying to get the microphone to work. Is it working? It's a red light. Okay. Thank you. Good morning. Today's lesson is going to be in from the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Revelation, chapter 4. And before we start, let's look to the Lord for his blessings and direction. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you have given us another opportunity, Lord, to open thy word and to study thy word. Lord, help us to discern, help us to understand, and help us to have a clear meaning of what you have for us, O Lord. Once again, we thank you for this time. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Before I start, I'd like to thank each and everyone for your prayers as I travel to Malawi for the missions, and my travel was all on time, didn't have any difficulty, problems, delays, none of those, and the ministry was profitable, except for some heavy rains in that place. Other than that, everything was well. We thank you so much for your prayers, and continue to pray for the land of Malawi. Malawi is going through some difficulty because they think that the election, the last election, was rigged. And so the Supreme Court is going to make a decision about the elections. And that should come sometime next month. And they think that if it is, the decision is wrong, and if it's against the people, then there may be some riots. So let's bring that forth before the Lord also. So, starting our study today, Revelation chapter 4, I had finished the first three chapters the last time that I took the book of Revelation. And as we know that when we look at the book of Revelation, it is not Revelations. It is Revelation because it is the revelation of one man, and that one man is the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we will be looking at. Now, chapter 1 of Revelation talks about the glorified Christ. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 talks about the church, the seven churches here on earth. And when we come to chapter 4, we find that something changes. Something happens. And so Revelation chapter 4 talks about the church in heaven and the 24 elders, or the 24 elders. So when we look at Revelation chapter 4, and starting from verse 1, it reads, "After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." When we look at this verse, let me just put on to the next slide. This is the door, the picture of a door in heaven that is opened. And this is where Apostle John has been invited into heaven. The Lord God has invited him, and we see this is a picture of of the door in heaven. After this, I looked. What is this after this? After this means it is after what God had revealed to him about the seven churches in chapter 2 and chapter 3. And we have completed those. And so it says, after this, I looked. And when we come to chapter 4, there is a section which is the beginning of the section number 3 of the book of Revelation. So why do I say that? If you look at that, let me just get to that. If you look in chapter 1, verse 19, chapter 1 of Revelation, verse 19, it says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. This is Jesus talking to Apostle John. As you know, Apostle John is in the Isle of Patmos. He was confined to the island because for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was exiled into the land of Patmos, island of Patmos. And while he's there, he gets this vision from God. And God is telling him, write the things which thou hast seen. This is the first section of the book of Revelation. That is chapter 1. This is showing the glorified Christ, the description that is given about the glorified Christ. And then the second section is, and the things which are. The things which are is shown in chapter 2 and chapter 3, which are the seven churches. The description of the seven churches, and the Lord reveals to him about the seven churches. And then if you look at this, and the things which shall be hereafter. This is where we are coming to when we come to chapter number 4. This is where God, our Lord Jesus, is showing Apostle John the things that are to happen hereafter. And that is from chapter 4 all the way to chapter 19. That is showing the judgment of God for the things that's going on this earth. As our brother George P. John has just talked to us about the rapture. Now, this is after the rapture. As we look at this one here, I will go through that a little bit. It says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking to me. When you hear, and when I hear something saying the first voice, usually our thinking goes, the first voice, if there is a first voice, there has to be a second voice. If there is a up, there has to be a down. If there is a left side, there has to be a right side. But here, the first voice he's talking about, the first voice refers to the voice that he has already heard. And if you look back in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, verse 10, and it reads, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So he recognizes that voice. He knows whose voice that is because he has already heard it the first time. And so he's hearing this again. And as soon as he hears the voice, he recognizes. You know, one of the things that came to my mind as I was studying this, especially with Apostle John. Remember the time when they were in the upper room and Apostle John, the one that Jesus loved, he put his head on the breast of Jesus. And he was just sitting there, and Jesus was there, John was putting his head on his breast, and then there is an encounter where he says, the one that I'm going to give this up, he's the one that's going to betray me. And then Peter sits on the other side, and Peter tells John, John, ask who that is. Peter didn't want to ask, but he tells John, John, ask Jesus who it is that is going to betray Jesus. And you can see that. And now when you see this, you find that Jesus has been invite, sorry, John has been invited up and is now in heaven. He's now in heaven and Jesus is talking to him. Right now, the position is completely different. This is the glorified Christ who is in heaven. Now, it says in verse number 4, verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, the door was open in heaven. I showed you the picture of the open door. And the first voice which I heard was as it of a trumpet. And if you hear the sound of a trumpet, it wakes you up. Even if you are in a drowsy mood, or if you are asleep, or if you're not alert enough, this voice will wake you up. You cannot sleep with the voice of a trumpet. And this is a very clear and distinct sound, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's talking to him. He says, come up hither. Come up. Imagine that call. And that call is coming for us soon. And very soon it's coming for us. That is the day when we will be caught up. Caught up and taken up to heaven. That is the day of rapture. That's the day of Christ, and that is coming. There's nothing more left to be completed, nothing more left to accomplish before that call comes up, that trumpet call. And that's what Apostle John has heard, and he says, come up hither. And we see that he's there in the spirit. What about his body? Was he there in the body too? It doesn't tell us. It says he was there in the spirit. If you look at Apostle Paul, remember he had that heavenly experience one time. And he says, I do not know if I was in the body or I was in the spirit. But he was not able to explain himself about his experience in heaven. But here, the same thing is happening. He says, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you the things which must be hereafter. So we find in the first chapter tells us about the glorified Christ. The second and the third chapter together talks about the seven churches. As we come into the third chapter, or the fourth chapter, we find the church is in heaven. The church is in heaven because another evidence for that we can say that the church is in heaven is because after chapter 4, we do not see or read any more about the church. From chapter 4 on, there's nothing, no description about the church. But if you see in chapter 1, 2, and 3, it's all about the church. Talks about the church. And so this appears to be after the rapture, after the believers, the church is caught up, is taken up, and that's what it looks like. And I've got a little diagram which I will show you that shows the 6,000-year history, biblical history, and I'll go through that because I think I'll have a little time for that. Let me look at this one here. This is a little diagram that I have. Here it shows creation, right here, God and his creation, and we find Genesis 1 and 2. I don't know if I'm blocking anybody here. And then this is the fall of man in Genesis 3. And then we find that Israel is formed, and the law is given to Israel, that describes in Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, and then we see the fall of Israel. And here starts the birth of Jesus. Here we find the birth of Jesus, which was about 2,000 years ago. So when you look at this from the time of creation to Jesus, it's about 4,000 years. Now, the time in between the 2,000 years, some tells us that that is from the creation to the floods. Now, some I've read some other places that they say it may be a few hundred years here this way or that way, but that's an approximate that says 2,000 years from creation to the floods. And then from the floods to Jesus is another 2,000 years. And then if you look from Jesus to Jesus to the rapture is another 2,000 years, so approximately 2,000 years. So that is the 6,000 year history, biblical history. Now, when we look at this one here, the birth of Jesus Christ, and then we know that he lived here, and when he was about 33 years, the Romans and the Jews and all of them crucified him, and on the third day, he was resurrected. God raised him up from the dead, and then he lived on earth for 40 days after the resurrection. After the resurrection was done, he was seen by many, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That is the topic that was just discussed with my brother John. And he was seen at one time by over 500 people. Okay, so there is evidence, although the Romans and the Jews tried to hide the evidence, but it is clear that Jesus rose up, was resurrected by God. And then, before his ascension to heaven, before he left earth, he told his disciples, stay here, stay in Jerusalem. I must go. If I go, I will send my comforter to you. And so he tells his disciples, and he also tells the disciples to wait in Jerusalem. And 10 days after his ascension to heaven, he ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And then 10 days after that, on the day of Pentecost, we see in Acts chapter 2, we find that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, comes upon those that were waiting upon the Comforter. And we see three things happen. If you read Acts chapter 2, it clearly says three things, and we know it is because it's in the Word of God. It says there was a mighty rush of wind, and they could hear it. Mighty rush of wind. And then what does it say? There was cloven tongues of fire came and sat upon the people. And then what happened? They were able to talk in different languages. Now the question many people ask, why does it happen today? Why don't we, when we are saved, when we receive the Holy Spirit, that we don't hear the mighty rush of wind? We don't hear that or see the cloven tongues of fire, and we don't start speaking in different languages, valid languages. Why is that? Because today it is given in the Word of God. We have in the Word of God the explanation what happens. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, it clearly describes the events that took place in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so it doesn't need for us to have that visual picture that the apostles and the disciples had received that day. So that's what we see here. And then as we look at that, let me just finish this off. After the rapture starts the seven-year period of tribulation. Now we are just at chapter 4, and we find that the judgment of God is going to be shown to Apostle John. That's why God has given him a balcony seat up in heaven to show John what is going to happen. And that is going to be tremendous. It is bad for those that are on earth. And that's why it is important for us to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to as many people as possible, because the wrath of God is going to be severe. Because there's going to be four things that happen. One is the sealed scrolls that'll be open, the trumpet judgment, the bowl judgment, and the sign judgments. We will see those as we study the book of Revelation. And then in the tribulation, after the tribulation, at the end of the seven-year tribulation, that's when the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that return is along with us because we have raptured up. We have been caught up with the Lord at the rapture, right here. at this time, during this 7 years for us as believers, when we are in heaven, two things happen. One is the Bema seat of judgment. That's where we are going to be judged. Now, don't worry about it. You're a believer. Our judgment has already taken place. Where did our judgment take place? We are not going to be judged for the sins of ours. Why not, they ask. Well, our sins have been judged 2,000 years ago by our Lord Jesus. That's why he went upon the cross of Calvary. But what is this Bema seat of judgment? This Bema seat of judgment is the judgment for the work that we have done for our Lord. And as we look at that judgment, when we see that judgment, that is to reward us with crowns. And we will see the crown that has been offered to the 24 elders here. And there are five crowns that are awarded to believers at the time. Crown of righteousness, crown of glory, indestructible crown, crown of life, and crown of rejoicing. It's available for us. Are we working for it? It is not for us to take into our heavenly home and keep it up on the shelf. No. Those crowns that we have obtained, we will place it before the Lord God and thank him for what he has done for us upon the cross of Calvary. It is because of what he did that we can thank him, because we are safe and we are in his arms. And that's the promise that he gives us. So when we look at it, after the tribulation and after the second coming of our Lord Jesus, and after he puts his enemies under his feet and uses as a footstool, he ushers in the millennial kingdom, which is the 1,000-year reign. And then after that, the great white throne judgment. And that judgment is for those from the beginning of time, from the time of creation till that time, that they did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the books will be opened at the great white throne judgment. Jesus will be the one that will be judging them, and their names won't be there, and they will all be sent into the lake of fire. So now let's move on with chapter 4, verse 2. And it says, And immediately, I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And we see that John is there up in heaven. And what is the sight that he sees the first time? The first thing that he sees is the throne of God. And he sees that, and he's amazed by what he sees over there. I hope it is clear enough. That is the central area, the throne of God. That's the first sight that he sees. And that's what our destination is. And that's where we are going. It's such a magnificent, you know, in the picture that I have, it looks so marvelous, so good. And John, when he looked at it, that's the first view that he has, the throne of God, as we look at that. And the description of the throne of God, and it says, and he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone, and there was rainbow around about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. So we find that there is a description that is given here, not about God, because God is in spirit form, and there's nothing that you can see. And there is no form, there's no size, there's no dimensions, no height, no weight, none of those. But the beauty that is given here is the glory of God. And the glory of God is described here, and he says, and he that sat was to look like as jasper. Jasper is white. It is like a diamond. It's beautiful. You know, there are so many songs about diamonds. Diamonds are for girls, or whatever they say. When you're young, you wanted to get a diamond for your girl, and all those kind of things. These were college days things. I think it still goes on. We cannot deny those facts. But I didn't have to find a diamond because I didn't have a girl at that time. So just to mention jasper, like diamond, it's white. And then the sardine stone, if you look around that which is reddish in color, these are the sardine stones. And it is so magnificent. I haven't seen one. I don't even wear a ring. And so this is a sardine stone. And then there was a rainbow around it. The magnificent emerald color. It's greenish. Beautiful green. Not this dark chartreuse type of color green. It is beautiful, magnificent, gracious green. And that's what it is. And when they say about the rainbow, something else crops up in our minds. What is that? About the promise God made, the covenant with man, that he will not destroy man with water. And that's the picture that we see here. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone, and there was rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. Some Bibles you will see 24 thrones. These are small thrones. This is not the size or the thing, just like the throne of God. And then these are the ones that is around the throne of God. And this... and this is the throne, or these are the seats. And if you see that all the seats are full, it is, there is nothing in absentia here, everything is full. 24 seats. And who are they? And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Not crown of gold, a crown, but it says in plural, crowns of gold. So these were 24 elders. So if you look in the Old Testament, we have elders there. In the New Testament, we have elders here. Many try to speculate who these 24 are. Some say it is the 12 tribes, the heads of the 12 tribes. Some say it is the 12 apostles. Do I know who they are? I don't. I just don't. I wish I knew. But it may be anyone that God chooses. 24 seats over there, and they were 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. That means they were dressed in white. Dressed in white, telling us about holiness, telling us about purity, telling us about wisdom. That's what it would see, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. So I would think it is more than one. Maybe all of them had more than one. And I just gave you the description of those five crowns that's available. There are many other prizes for those that work for the Lord Jesus Christ. But these crowns is very evident that God has it for all believers that deserve the crown. And then if you look at that, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Now, recently, I don't know if you all had all of these, but in Malawi, we had severe torrential rain, so heavy that the mission compound wall fell off. It was serious. It was serious. And I was speaking that Sunday. It was the first Sunday I was there, and there was this man that was standing beside me who is an evangelist and making the interpretation for me. We were probably about 10 minutes into the word ministry, and suddenly I saw him running away. I said, my goodness, what is this? I had no clue. But then people started looking back, and they also started running. And I was saying, what's going on? Apparently, this evangelist, this guy's a little tall guy, his name is, forget his name, his name, because there are some that have been there would probably recognize Chipwe. Yeah, Chipwe. Yes, Feliciano, correct. And he just ran, and what it was is they saw a young kid running, and that's where the wall fell. They thought there might have been other kids or other children there because the restroom is just next to that. And then I realized the seriousness of it, and we held everything up for about 10, 15 minutes till they made sure that everybody is okay. And so then we resumed again. So this is just telling when you have heavy rains, and before that you have lightnings and you have thunder and you have noises and sounds and all of those, what does it tell us? It tells us a warning that something serious is going to happen. The storm is coming. There may be a thunderstorm. There may be whatever is coming to watch out. Take care. And so if you look at this, we know that there is going to be a judgment coming upon this earth. And so that is what is going on here. And it says, out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Look at this one here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven lamps of fire, which is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. And when we want the description of the seven lamps of fire, if you don't have to turn it now, but I will give you the reference, and which is in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. And it gives us the names of those seven spirits. And I'll read that to you. And the Spirit of the Lord, one is Spirit of the Lord, second is Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of knowledge, and Spirit of the fear of the Lord. These are the seven spirits that we see here that is in front of the throne of God. And then in front of this, the description is a sea of glass, just like crystal. Now, it is significant because later as we study the book of Revelation, this is significant. So right now, they just introduce us to the sea of glass, which is right here. Look at this, a sea of glass. And then right in front of it, we see, and before the throne, verse number 6, there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal, in the midst of the throne, and around the throne were four beasts. I like to describe that as four creatures. The word beast sounds pretty, so I like to describe it as creatures. And these are actually cherubims. These are actually God's chosen ones that is right here. And these beasts were full of eyes before and behind. So we see the four beasts here, and the first beast is one which has the face of a lion. The second one is the face of a calf, and this one is the face of a man. And then we have the fourth creature is the face of a flying eagle. Now, I do not know if you have seen the picture of a flying eagle and a resting eagle. There is a difference. That's what they tell me. I do not know what the difference is. So that's what we see here. Now, in the book of Ezekiel and in Daniel, it talks about these, and those that have an interest in that can read those books there and see what it is like. And so, verse 7, it says, the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like calf. Third beast has the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like unto a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, singing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. So they are there singing 24/7, day and night. day and night they're singing. And you know that we sang this song today, Holy, Holy, Holy. When there is three times something is said, it intensifies the meaning of the holiness, and this is the holiness of God that is being described. And then when you look at the next here, there's also a description here in the book of Matthew that signifies as a man. In the book of Mark, it signifies as a lion, symbolism of that. And here, as a calf in Luke, and in John, it symbolizes that of a flying eagle. Now, it also could have other meanings there because of the four kingdoms. Man, the intellectual being as man. And if you look at this, the lion, which is the king of the wild beasts. The third one, we find of the domesticated animals, the cow or the calf. And then of the birds, we see the king of it as eagle. So this is another picture that we see. I should be finished in a few minutes. And when the beast gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, so we find that these four creatures are worshiping God. They are just singing away and praising God. And when they are praising God, what happens to the four and 20 elders that are there? You think they are just sitting there, just enjoying that song? No. Look at this in verse number 10. And four and 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We will be soon there. We will be soon there. If we are not singing these days here, we need to get into the habit of singing, because that's what they are doing. They are praising God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And they are singing. And the four and 20 elders, they are also singing. And what do they do? What do? They take their crowns and lay it before our Heavenly Father, thanking him for what he has done for us upon the cross of Calvary, thanking him for saving us. You know, today we can be happy and joyous in spite of our problems that we go through. Life is not easy. It's not a bed of roses. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard for young students, youngsters it is, young marriages it is, the middle-aged ones it is, older ones. I think it's even worse. You know why? Our time is close up, and we are going to go and be with our Lord soon. Soon and very soon. I like that song. Soon and very soon, we are going to be with the Lord. So let us worship our Lord and thank him for what he has done for us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the lesson that thou hast given to us, O Lord. As we look at the throne of God, the first vision Apostle John had was of the throne of God. And then he saw the four and 20 elders, and then the seven vessels of fire indicating the Spirit of God, and then the sea of glass, and then the four creatures, those that were singing day and night without stop, and the four and 20 lay their crowns before the Lord. Father, we thank you that this is what we are going to see. Father, we thank you and we look forward for the day when you will come and take us home. Thank you, Father. Help us to come closer to you. Help us to, Lord, grow in thee, O Lord, and help us to read thy word. Help us to study thy word and give us that feeling of importance that we have to tell somebody about the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, thank you for this morning. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.